It's eat, drink, talk.
Yum, yummy.
The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table.
Yum,
and here comes the main course.
Yummy.
Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk, presented by 4th Street Live. I am Carolyn McLean, your co-host, alongside Rick Redding. How do you like that?
That was really special.
I feel like
I've got to do something now.
All you have to do is be yourself on this show, Rick Redding.
That's right. Well, I can do that. And I'm feeling good these days. I'm sticking to healthy foods.
Yeah.
And drinks and having a lot of fun.
Well, listen, I am feeling pretty spirited today. There's been a lot of news in Louisville with the fallout of Papa John's and John Schneider. So we're gonna address a little bit of that because, Rick, as you know, my day job is public relations and I specialize in crisis. So for me, watching this unfold is like a meteorologist that gets a Woody when the storm blows in.
You're Mark Weinberg in front of a tornado.
I'm like, what's the next play? What would I do? And then I'm judging, and then I'm like, yes, that's a good move, and that's not so good of a move there, or I would be doing. So we're going to talk a little bit about behind the scenes during a crisis.
Yeah, well, we got to tell our listeners, this is Tuesday if you're listening to it the day it comes out. So we're recording the Friday before, and the news broke the Wednesday before.
Yeah, we're in the 48-hour news cycle still, so we're going to try and keep this relevant for you, listener.
So it's, some time has passed. Everybody in town is talking about the whole John Schneider thing, and a lot of John Schneider stories are going around.
Mm-hmm. We have a few of our own.
We both have a few of our own.
Louisvillians, yes, we do.
Some that we can mention and some we can't, but it is really it's really a classic downfall of I mean it's Harvey Weinstein Louisville version.
It's very troublesome.
Yeah,
and but we're going to talk about it strategically.
Okay,
there are lots of things we can pick apart, but also this is Eat, Drink, Talk, and this is one of the largest pizza chains. Did I just say that? Chains in the United States of America, and it's based right here in Louisville, Kentucky. So we have to address that, right?
Right, and all the things that have happened this week in terms of taking his name off of things that that he's paid for,
mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of people are taking a principled stand, and you know, you might ask how far is too far for this guy's comment. But what I'm interested in hearing from you is your theories on how this news got out.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't have.
I'm gonna talk candidly about this, right? So some of the organizations have called me for comment as a third party, you know, independent of what's going on, for my two cents. And I've been somewhat reluctant, so I'm saving it up for my own show.
Saving it up for this.
We also have Eat of the Week coming up, our two places we ate in the city of Louisville, and we're going to give a little quick review of that. We have a fabulous interview coming up with the executive chef of Luvino, and what am I missing? Oh, Nellie's coming to town.
Yeah, Nellie is going to be in town.
Nellie is coming to town. and my little 12-year-old wants to go, and I'm like, I don't think so.
I was down there on 4th Street Live last night. It was hopping. You know, it's great that the city is just hopping right now. There's a lot
hopping
going on.
Hopping and hot. Can I just say that?
Like, it's freaking hot.
This girl's sweating. I'm sweating, I'm sneezing, but I'm loving my city. So
It's
hot but fun.
And let's talk a little bit about Bill Jennings, who is our guest coming up. I found out about him through his mother, Joyce Jennings, mm-hmm. who does a lot of promotional stuff around town, and has been a friend of mine for a long time. And she said, my son is the executive chef at Luvino. And I said, oh, well, we need to talk to him.
Well, he's a 33-year-old wonderkin that is just was born in the kitchen. So I think we should just go to the interview. Let him take it away.
All right. Here we go. Here's our interview with Bill Jennings.
If you're looking for quality food, fun bars, and several nightlife hotspots, 4th Street Live is the place for you. Not only is it located in the heart of downtown Louisville, but each of these venues are just a few steps apart. Come enjoy an afternoon meal with your family, watch the next big game, or bring your friends for a fun night out. Head over to 4th Street Live and see for yourself.
And welcome back to Eat, Drink, Talk. We are in the studio today with Bill Jennings, who has quite a story to tell. He is the executive chef at
Luvino
in Middletown. It's one of our favorite places. I think it's always distinctive because I had Chad Coulter on this show like 2 years ago, and I was amazed that the clientele there is like, what, 70, 80% women?
Yes.
I was going to say, that's where I go and have my wine with my Hoochie Mama friends.
Your girl,
is your girl Middletown Luvino. So you'll have to pop your head out of the kitchen sometime, and I'll give you a wave.
I can definitely do that. It's nice with the open kitchen. We can see all the guests.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun place. I really like it. And let's talk a little bit about Luvino first. It is a growing, seems very successful, and you're opening a new store in another city.
Yes. We started out with the first store opening on Barstown Road. It did so well, decided to expand, tried out Middletown. It's been doing great.
Yeah.
The executive chef that used to be at Douglas Hills was from Cincinnati, and she's married to our corporate executive chef, so they moved up to Cincinnati to open a restaurant there. So that's where he is and she is now, starting that open one in August. And
opens
then we're
in August.
Hopefully getting downtown Indianapolis.
That's what I heard.
Around next year, maybe March.
Yeah.
Wow. Big expansion. And, you know, because of the name, it's Louisville. But, you know, you keep the name when you go to other cities, which is cool.
Right.
A little bit of Louisville in Cincinnati and Indy.
So your menu, though, has like the classic side where all the Luvinos have the staples, and then you have your seasonal side?
It's more
where you get to pick the items.
Yeah, so the local chefs can show what they're doing and see all their experience and also try new things. Let the clientels and customers see what else Louisville has to offer.
Well, then you get to experiment.
Yes.
There's your creative side.
So we get to have fun, and it gets us more creative also, and we're not just doing the same thing over and over and over. Every 3 or 4 months, we'll switch the seasonal menu and just keep us on our toes, keep us interested, and make us why we wanted to cook. So it's good to, every once in a while, go back to the basics and start all over.
What are some of your favorite things on the new menu that you created, your seasonal menu?
We have a crispy pork steam bun. I've always loved steam buns. They're probably one of my favorite bread vessel sandwiches. we do it with I have a lot of Italian background, so it's an Italian-style marinated pork, and then we make it real crispy. We add some pickled carrots, some cucumbers, and since it's Kentucky and Louisville, I really love Benedictine, so there's some Benedictine on it with bourbon reduction sauce, so it's very Kentucky.
That is sounding too good to be true.
And it's really good. Cool. We also have I put a lot of salads on the menu because it's
cool us down, keep us light.
And I really like called an iceberg smash. It's very similar to a wedge, but instead of tomatoes, we put grilled peaches on.
Cool.
Fun stuff like that. Pickled shallots, a little bit. I like to make them not always give you traditional, this is what a wedge is or this is what an iceberg
is.
I like to add a little something to make it interesting.
Okay.
Are any of you have, it's Luvino, so is it all designed to go with particular wines or?
Some of them. The general manager, we've started to work together. Like, we have a chef tasting that pairs with wine. And then our staff, front of the house, is trained, and they do really well with their wine knowledge.
Suggestive selling.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Every item we have, they know a wine that's going to go with it.
But you have a lot of bourbons, too.
We do.
A lot of spirits in there.
It's coming up. First, we didn't have many spirits, but a lot of people wanted more spirits, so we had to add a couple more.
You can't just have wine, although, you know, that's the thing. So many women I know.
We like our wine.
They're like, well.
I hate to stereotype.
Here we're going somewhere, so what kind of wine do they have?
Right.
That's the big question. But I just wanted to move on and get to your fascinating background. I know you grew up in Louisville and amazingly knew early on that you wanted to be in food prep and be a chef. So that's how you're at such a young age in a good spot.
Or did he? Because somebody said that he wanted to be a dancer or a race car driver.
Those
are
my three options.
Fiction.
Those are the three options that I was going for. Love fast cars. Love driving. Racing's always fun. Maybe that's just the male testosterone in me. But I love dancing. It's graceful. Music. Maybe that's the more feminine side in me. And then restaurants and food. It's just a good mixture of both. And that's really what it took for me. I like to cook with a rhythm. I like music. It helps me chop and get the feeling better. And
what do you listen to in your kitchen? You have like headset on, or is everybody listening to the same thing?
Sometimes I make everyone listen to the same things.
What's your go-to play song?
Oh, I don't have a go-to play song. It's more of a list that's either upbeat because we're in a hurry and we need to work fast.
Right.
Or every once in a while, I'll even throw on classical music. No words, nothing, just something to...
Get in the zone.
Yeah.
To get it going. Very
no words to distract them.
But back to your history, you went straight to New York out of Trinity High School, right?
Yes.
St. X?
Started at St. X.
And went over to Trinity.
Yeah.
That is weird. Not many people do that.
That's a weird thing. Well, not many people go to New York. Now, what was it like for an 18-year-old kid from Louisville going up to New York to school?
It was a magical experience. When I first went up to look at the school, it was right around the same time that Harry Potter was very big. And if you drive up to the school, it's an old Jesuit monastery, so it looks very magical and a different place. And then you walk on the campus, and it's not like any other school where you might have business majors or lawyers or any pre-graduation stuff. It's just food. That's all we do there. It's a different world. And it's really, when I was there, there wasn't much around. Now it's starting to grow a little bit more and there's actual stuff to do. But when we were there, it was, you're talking about food and that's it.
Where is there again?
Hyde Park, New York. So it's
in the school's name?
Culinary Institute of America.
Of America. Okay, got it.
So it's 2 hours north of the city, which is not bad. If you have a weekend, you can drive down to the city and enjoy the sights. But it's also right around Hyde Park's just a beautiful area in general. So it's a good place to just be away from everything, relax, but really focus just on food.
You're a baby now. You're only 33. So you're like 18 wandering around New York?
Oh, yes.
Were you a mature 18-year-old?
I was. I was fortunate to travel a lot when I was little. So I'd been in big cities, different countries. I was...
Well-heeled
and ready for nothing was going to surprise me.
Yeah, well, I should mention your family because, you know, I know your mother, Joyce, and your grandfather was one of the city's best ever promoters, William H. King. And so you knew him a little bit, and maybe some of that rubbed off on you.
It definitely did. He always loved for people to have a great time and enjoy life and just experience good times, and I feel the same way. I just want people to have fun, and that's partially why I went into food, because everybody loves food, and when you really want something and then you actually taste it and enjoy it, the smile that people get, the satiation feeling, that makes me happy. When I see that someone else is really enjoying what I made, that's probably what I get the most joy out of.
I think that is a common thread that we hear in this studio when we interview really top chefs.
Yeah.
They say basically the same thing. They talk about their enjoyment and their pleasure that they receive from somebody eating their dish
and
how it makes them feel.
So let's just move on. That degree paid off for you because you've been to a lot of big cities and I guess increasingly important jobs. I mean, you've gotten to see the country as a result of what you're doing.
Yes. Not only did I work in downtown Manhattan, right across from Madison Square Gardens, so I got to see the real busy, this is what a big city is, this is how busy we do, 1,000 people a night, real hectic, crazy, got to be on your toes, got to be on your game. And then I've also worked in Colorado at a Ritz-Carlton resort, so it was a little more laid back, a little easier.
Really? Ritz-Carlton was laid back?
Well, they were so organized and structured, and they just made it so easy for us to
they had it
do
streamlined.
Our jobs. Yes.
Well, what did you learn, to Rick's point, what did you learn from these other markets that you have infused in your dishes or incorporated in our market, Louisville?
It's a lot of styles and techniques. A lot of best part about traveling around is you get to see lots of different ways of how someone might do it. Cause there are many ways to skin a cat, and getting to see a whole different ways and why certain techniques work better, it just helps build the repertoire. So whenever there's not really a speed bump or anything you can throw at me that's really going to throw me off my game.
Okay.
So you're not going to, the more I've seen, the easier it is to fix problems and
so basically it was more you learned how to be cool, calm, and collected in the kitchen.
Yes.
When the heat is up.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
When the heat's on.
So
you've been back in Louisville how long you told
about
me?
3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years. So what do you think about the culinary scene here? Do you have favorite restaurants? Where do you go?
We put him on the spot.
Heck yeah. That's what we do here.
I have three favorite restaurants. My number one favorite restaurant, maybe in the country, is Hammerheads. I really like Hammerheads.
Oh, okay.
There's something about the atmosphere, going into the basement, yeah. the ceilings.
It is cool.
Food, it's everything I like.
Okay.
But I got my start at Ditto's and Mayan Cafe, which, well, used to be Mayan Gypsy. Now it's Mayan Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those two have a real soft spot in my heart because I love those places. Okay, and those chefs are great.
If I said birthday salad, would you know what I was talking about at Ditto's?
Yes.
Okay. Off the menu was my favorite, but every once in a while I'll get a chef that knows how to make it and we'll throw it together for me.
Yes. That's probably where I got. I started both of those kitchens when I was 15, 16.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And Dominic Serratori and Bruce Ucan are just two of the best chefs that I've ever encountered with, just as people in general. Even if I didn't do culinary, I would have loved those two guys no matter what.
So back in high school, you were working in local restaurants.
Yeah, I didn't really do the normal high school, let's go hang out and do that stuff. I went straight to food. And
okay. Do you have a chef crush on anyone in Louisville?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, not yet. I'm still right. I got to get out and eat more.
All right. Awesome.
Well, there's plenty, and you know, it's great to, you know, there's people, I think, with the level of experience you have in a lot of places in Louisville. In Louisville, I don't know, in those other cities you've been in, do people talk about Louisville as being a culinary destination, or do you hear that?
I do. In the bigger cities, I worked in New York, Atlanta, Charlotte. Those real big cities, they hear I'm from Louisville, and they always have questions like, we hear that your food scene's getting bigger. Is that true, or are they just saying that to sound like a big city?
Right.
And I keep telling them, we are growing. We're getting a lot better.
Yeah.
It's very odd to me. I've noticed that we're a fad city. It seems to be whatever the major fad is or
the
food
trends.
That's what we bustle on and go for. And that's good. I just don't like that part because the fad dies and I don't want to see restaurants pop up and close and pop up and close. I would rather have solid food restaurants, and instead of following the fad, I want us to try and set a fad or a new trend instead of always following it, which I know is very hard to do in a
That's a fantastic yeah. answer.
Well, and lastly, we got to wrap it up here. I know you're happy at your job at Luvino, but I mean, do you dream of someday having your own place, or do you see working at Luvino for a while?
My retirement plan is a little bit different than most. I would like to retire at 45, wherever, what city ever I'm in, or wherever the location is. I just want to open an ice cream shop and let kids scoop it, and I just collect the checks.
So straight up ice cream, not gelato, like small batch, or does it matter?
Ooh, it'll probably be gelato.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time in Italy and traveled around ever the places, and gelato really is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, you can't beat gelato. I'm 50% Italian, though. Are you Italian?
Yes.
Yeah. Your mom and dad?
Italian and German is what I'm pretty sure I am.
Okay, cool.
I think I'm mostly Italian.
Awesome. Oh, I knew I liked him when he walked in the door.
That's right.
Fellow Paisan. So we should give those locations one more time. Luvino's is in the Highlands, Middletown, Fishers, Indiana, right?
Yes.
Cincinnati, maybe Indianapolis, looking like Indy.
Yes.
Yep. And do we want to plug your $2 oysters? That's pretty big at your Highlands location.
It is, and they've been selling really
like crazy?
Well. Yeah.
Are they good?
Yes.
Are they everywhere or just the Highlands location?
Just the Highlands right now.
All right. We'll get your $2 half-baked oysters.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not a big fan of oysters, but these are good. I like them.
Okay. I'm not either. They have to be like Rockefeller and from New Orleans for me to eat them. I don't when I get shell
I've
in my mouth.
I've now got
I'm
an
like,
excuse to go down there.
Now
I love
you
them.
Do. All right. Bill Jennings, Executive Chef, Luvino's. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Rick Redding has his ear to the ground on Louisville news, issues, and media. Get a new episode every Thursday at Louisville.am.
Back in the Louisville.am studios with Carolyn McLean, the lovely.
You're nice. It's always nice to hear that, by the way.
That is. Compliments never get old, and it's all great. So we're going to get into, at this point in the show, those of you who have followed it, we go out and eat somewhere. I kind of wish I'd have gone to Luvino and had something from there to talk about.
It's tasty. I'm in there quite a bit.
Okay.
So it's sometimes eating, sometimes drinking, sometimes both, but it's a good happy hour.
I may have to get back out there very soon. I've only been to the I've been to both of them in town, so it's good. But so I'll tell you real quickly about my eat of the week. Mm-hmm. I went to 4th Street Live because the new pizza bar is opening, and I can report that it's a lot like its predecessor, Birachibo.
Mm-hmm.
And they serve pizza, and I can imagine that if you're down 4th Street Live and you want a slice of pizza, you know, it's adequate. It's good. It's not like I've got to go to 4th Street Live and have that pizza.
So it's not like a gourmet, very distinct taste. It's just like good, solid pizza.
Good, solid pizza. And they need that on 4th Street Live.
Yeah, and you know what? Kids are down there, and kids always want a slice of cheese pizza.
Yeah.
And it's $5, and it's a big, giant New York-style slice.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like different price points, so good for them for having that on there.
Yeah, they got a big thing on the menu. The 2013, we're not giving back the title, is the name of the pizza.
That's funny.
So the 2013.
So somebody that put the menu together yeah. has a sense of humor.
So their main pizzas are 18 inches. They cost about $24.
You should tell people that listen outside of Louisville what that means,
yeah,
just in
exactly.
case they don't know.
Well, it has to do with the University of Louisville's 2013 basketball title, which was taken away. And there's a whole thing about that in the news this week that yeah. I talked about a lot on the Rusty Satellite Show. And I'm sure your husband has talked
about
it a lot.
Say, always.
Well, all right, my, how about yours?
My eat of the week is Kuvian, by the way. That's how you pronounce it.
Okay.
Kuvian.
I was probably getting it wrong before.
Even though it's Kuvillion, so it's French.
Has to do with something like bouillon, but...
Ish.
Yeah.
So
our friend Kevin Gibson refuted in Inside of Louisville, I saw.
Yes, he did. And I did not have the menu items that he had, but I am going to give you an...
Perhaps you should have.
I'm going to give you an opposing opinion. And okay. I'm gonna be nice about this because... And here's the thing. I'm going to try it again because sometimes a kitchen just has an off day.
Okay.
All right. So I will say the cocktail menu was really good. They have a lot of handcrafted cocktails. And I had this one. It was called the Young Buck. And it had bourbon and citrus and bitters and ale 8. And it was really refreshing. Mm. And I was sitting outside on like the picnic table on a warm summer day. But it had a breeze. So it was like, love the atmosphere.
Okay.
Now this is, I got an app, the roasted cauliflower. But it had like too much mustard.
Mm.
Like I tasted nothing but mustard. Like almost like a Dijon mustard.
Yeah.
So
reminds me when we were really, really, really poor in college and we could only afford beer, mm-hmm. we had mustard sandwiches.
On bread.
Yeah.
And mustard.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go for peanut butter and jelly?
Mustard's cheaper.
Okay. All right. But my main dish was this braised brisket. It was like slow cooked and it was on grits and it had a side of slaw. I just did a half order because it was lunch. And here's the thing. The grits were good. The grits were fine. The slaw, I was not a fan of that slaw. I don't know why. So let me just say that I'd have to taste it again, but I just wasn't. And the brisket was a little like fatty and mm-hmm. tasteless,
mm.
you know. And I didn't even eat it all.
Wow!
I was just kind of like disappointed in my food a little bit. But the staff was awesome. They were fun and friendly, and the cocktail menu made up for it. And
there you go.
Yeah.
And maybe
so.
You can go back and try something else.
And so that's the thing. I'm not giving up. For the folks that are wondering where Kuvian is, it is on McHenry Street. So
it's in Germantown. It's right behind the Germantown Mill Lofts.
Yes.
It's part of that thing.
And by the way, that building is the old Fens, but that building is sort of in a parking lot and it's nondescript, so you can pass it if you're not familiar
yeah.
with where you're going. But anyway, that's my eat of the week, people.
It's the hip Apton space in Germantown. There's a lot going on there. So,
yeah. New Orleans style.
A lot of
that's,
fun.
That's what it is, yeah.
All right. So hopefully you'll get back there and have a better meal. So
elephant in the room. We have to talk about John
here
Schnatter.
Here in Louisville,
Papa
Kentucky
John's.
This week, history will show this was the week that Papa John's got caught making a racist comment and found his name being taken off buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard a lot of media about this, and I'm curious as to your point of view about how this got out, because apparently it was at a place where he was getting media training so things like this wouldn't happen.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. So here's the deal. So Papa John's had two agencies, past tense. One, mm-hmm. the agency of record, which was Olson & Gage, And then they decided to hire laundry service, which is weird, by the way, because laundry is a creative agency. They're marketing. Mm-hmm. They're not media training.
Okay.
They don't specialize in crisis management. So it's odd that they were picked to do the media training. So this call was between laundry and John and whomever else was on the call.
And somebody who was listening.
Now, here's the thing. Most people were thinking this is a large call, conference call. People are dialing in from all over. But when media training occurs, it is a very tight group. I'm talking 8 people, usually just 8 people. 10 would be a lot. So, and that's usually 1 or 2 trainers, if it's on camera, which this wasn't. There's a cameraman in there. And then there's the subject, the executive. And usually a couple of the other executives are higher-ups that want to listen in. But it is a very private, supposed to be a safe zone, a place where you can screw up and learn how to do better, right?
Exactly.
And he was asked to do it by the board because of all his NFL comments. They were like, you need to reel it in. We need a little reputation management. And we need to make sure that when you're the face and the mouthpiece of the company, you're saying the right thing. So he may have been forced
to do it because he blamed slow pizza sales on the NFL program, which is a sort of racist thing that's going on. So we've already got it set up as race is going to be important in the story.
Yes. And so they were at mock interviewing him about race and how he would handle X, Y, and Z. And that's where these comments were born. The question is, clearly it leaked out from someone at laundry, whether it was one of those 8 people on the call or one of those 8 people that were offended on the call that then went and talked to whomever at the agency, and it spread like wildfire amongst the hallways, and then, you know, somebody calls Forbes. Or, you know, but here's the thing. So laundry breaks their contract, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, media training is confidential. If they had a non-disclosure agreement and I'm Papa John's or John's, I'd be suing them.
Yeah, he's certainly got a case, and he's certainly lost a lot as a result.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I mean, so...
No matter how big of a jerk he is.
Exactly. And I'm not condoning, by the way, his words or his behavior. But I'm just trying to, like, give you a play-by-play here of what happens in media training. So, and then, you know, they break the contract, which also I had a problem with. I think that's weak sauce, you know? You were hired to represent your client.
Well, you'd think maybe they'd have gotten fired anyway because they caused the biggest problem in the company's history. I mean, whoever leaked that information.
Right.
Because he could be a jerk and he could feel that way and he could be a racist, but nobody's going to know about it unless somebody leaks it.
Well, so laundry, though, allegedly broke the contract before this leak got out.
Okay.
Okay, and then people were laid off, probably because it was a huge contract and they needed to lose staffers. You know, they couldn't pay the bills, maybe. And that is probably one of those disgruntled people that picked up the phone and called Forbes. That's how I imagine it to be.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true.
We're speculating here.
I can't help. Yeah, we are. This is speculating. But now the question is, what are you going to do, right? So everybody at Papa John's, I mean, they're scrambling, right? They're going to reinvent. They're going to reposition. And then you've got, what is John going to do? You know, because mm-hmm. this is a critical time in crisis communications, that first 72 hours, what are you going to do? I personally read the statement and thought it was a little, it wasn't full enough. It wasn't remorseful enough. It wasn't apologetic enough. I wanted more. It sounded just kind of like,
you mean, from the company?
From him, when he just said there's no, you know, his statement about racism in the country, there's no place for it.
Yeah.
It just seemed a little too bland.
Well, if you actually read what he said, you know that he does, that he harbors plenty of racism. You know, he said that when he was growing up in Indiana, you know.
Yeah, the second
hint,
part of the.
I'm a redneck. Not that everybody in Indiana is, but. He alleged that people were, that African Americans were being dragged around in the back of trucks till they died, and I've talked to people and he couldn't have witnessed that in Indiana in the 60s, I don't think.
Yeah, that's
perhaps.
Actually, Lachlan mentioned that as far as the timing of something like that, the era, but I'm wondering, Rick, do you think that John got jaded? The older, the richer, the more powerful he became. Because I remember a young John, and I actually remember some very nice, sweet things that I witnessed.
Okay.
And one of them was when I was a young reporter covering a golf outing that Papa John's had sponsored for a youth group. And, you know, we had followed him around and we did a little 45-second, what we call a VOSAT for TV. And one of the kids that was out there said that he really liked John's golf shoes. And Schneider took them off and gave the kid the shoes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
I think the cynic would say, well, he did one nice thing and then there's all this other stuff.
Well, he's also given
he's given a lot of money away.
Crazy money.
Exactly.
And philanthropic.
Supported some things, but he's got so much money, there would be something wrong if he wasn't doing that. I did a long story. I think it's still the longest story ever written in Business First about a franchisee lawsuit that he had going in 1998. And in the depositions, there was all this really, really negative stuff about his management style and how much people hated him and some of his attitudes about things. And you know, I'm sure I'm still on his enemies list because he didn't like the story, but his lawyers wouldn't let him talk to me for the story, so we had to write it based on the depositions, which were very damaging. And you know, I don't think anybody in this town really thinks he's a great guy. A good person. Mm-hmm. He's burned a lot of bridges. He's pissed a lot of people off. But a lot of people that make it big, you know,
that's what they do.
That's how you get there sometimes.
I think if I had to like give my quick elevator pitch on what's going to happen, the pizza chain will survive.
After losing a lot of sales.
They will suffer, right? But they will come back. You know, pizza is a growth category in our world. I think that, it's a large chain. I think it will survive. I would personally like to see a better John Schnatter, not just a better pizza. You know, and maybe that includes something a little bit more remorseful for him. If I were repping him personally right now, I would do what we call a VNR, a video news release. Uh-huh. You know, it would be scripted, but I'd put him in front of a teleprompter after, you know, debriefing him and talking with him. And you can control the message, and he's going to say what he's going to say to the consumers and the community, and he's going to be apologetic and remorseful, and we're going to put it on the website. And that's that. You know, like I'd like, just like what Southwest CEO did after the engine failure, you know, and they suffered a fatality and it was believable and empathetic. And that's the big thing, by the way. I just haven't seen the empathy from him yet. Mm-hmm. Humans want to forgive. People will forgive. It'll take a while to forget, but time heals. So I'll be curious to see what happens with him. I also, by the way, if I were him or his PR, I would say, why don't you offer to take my name off the stadium? I would offer it up. If you want to rename Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, I'm going to give you the rights, the ability.
You mean not want his money back? Because, you know,
the UL president. Take my name off. Let me see some goodwill here.
Yeah. Well, he could have struck first on that. Of course, U of L announced on last Friday that whether he likes it or not, they're taking it off. And I thought it was curious, the high school field house in Indiana, where his name was taken off by the mayor there.
Yes.
Without even, you know, very, very, very quickly. And then the next day, Shire pledged $800,000 and had already paid $400,000, and the mayor sent a $400,000 check back to Schneider the next day.
That's but you know what happens now. Now he's going to use taxpayer money to pay for it.
Well, yeah, that.
So Schneider gets his money back, and now the taxpayers are going to get
smart
in the pocketbook.
Or some corporate sponsor like, you know, Pizza Hut could swoop right in there and put their name on the damn building. It would be – that would – I mean, it's a great opportunity for other sponsors to take advantage of the publicity opportunity. You know, they come in and do – they're the hero.
Yeah.
You know, you spend the money. You know, whereas if you'd have spent the money in another time, it wouldn't have gotten quite the push. And – you know, it's going to be on there for until you screw up, I guess.
It's, you know, the story will die down nationally in the next day or two. Well, by the time Tuesday rolls around for this, it'll be
with us around here for a long time.
But Louisville, exactly. So it's going to be topical, and I think you're going to see a chess match in the coming days.
But don't you think he's going to, like, the smart thing is to almost go into hiding and just not be seen publicly or heard from.
Listen, I think that's the opposite of what he should be doing right now. Right now, here's the thing. We have the term feed the beast.
Yeah.
You have to go out there and feed the beast or they're not satiated. They don't go away. They keep sniffing and clawing and trying to get information, and it's usually inaccurate. So he needs to get out there right now.
Yeah. Well, he's got his name on some other stuff around town.
Yeah.
And I think an ongoing part of the story is going to be the decisions made by leaders of organizations who have received money from him and what they're going to do about that. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on those people to give that money back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then what happens then? These organizations need the money. It's quite a dilemma.
Well, I think it's fascinating to watch just from my angle of being in the business I'm in, but there's just no place in this world that we live in for the N-word. No place for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can see what happens. This is the consequence of being caught using it. Even when you thought you were safe, you know, you should never use it, but at least he said it in a place that he did not think would get to the public.
Yeah.
And so,
and by the way, that's another thing. Internal versus external communications. Yeah. Nothing, folks, is off the record.
Conduct your life as if the mic is always on.
That is right.
It is. So. And the better thing is not to have those racist feelings at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wipe them out.
Be a better person.
Be a better person. I know you're going to miss me next week, by the way, Rick. So you hold the fort down here and Luke KY.
You're usually on vacation, and it's the thing when you're here that is unusual. You know, you've got so much time on vacation.
Well, I just travel a lot, so you think I'm on vacation because I travel into nice places. So, but anyway, hold the fort down, all right? I'm going to apparently not have allergies for a week where I'm going. God, I hope that's true.
We're going to keep eating and drinking around here.
Yeah, keep eating and drinking. Louisville, Kentucky, we love you.
And that's going to do it for Eat, Drink, Talk. Find us at eatdrinktalk.net on the internet. And we have other stuff besides our podcast on there. And we're at Twitter at Eat, Drink, Talk, Lou.
And shout out to 4th Street Live. Go see Nelly. Go to the farmer's market every Wednesday. And Chris Granger.
And the pizza
country
bar.
Artist. And the pizza bar.
Get a slice.
All right. Peace out.
Catch up on the city's restaurant scene every day by visiting eatdrinktalk.net. Yum.